start with a Bible quiz. I think we need a Bible quiz. Very important that we understand and know our Bibles. All right. You should know the answer to this one. We've asked this often. Who was the shortest person in the Bible? Come on, come on. Whoa, why do you don't know that hand? I see that hand at the back, brother. Wrong! Bildad the shoe height. The next question, Nehemiah is the second shortest man. Who is Bildad the shoe height, by the way? Yeah, one of Job's useless friends. Yep, very good. Why did Noah punish and discipline the chickens on the ark? Why did Noah punish and discipline the chickens on the ark? You don't know? No, they were using foul language. Don't worry, they get worse. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? This should be easy to those who think this kind of way. He was ruthless. See, she's smart, Gina. You get, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I told you they get worse. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson, because he brought the house down. Doesn't matter, right? Which Bible character had no earthly parents besides Adam and Eve? Which Bible character had no earthly parents besides Adam and Eve? Melchizedek. We don't know that for sure. All right. You're giving me deep theological. This is not deep theological questions. Joshua, son of Nun. I don't know, man. This is terrible. You people do not know your scriptures. Terrible jokes. Well, this morning, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are encouraged to drink. We are encouraged to drink. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Someone like to read that out to me? I think I had it on my phone. I've just got it before. Where's my phone? There's my phone. I got it. Come everyone who thirsts. This is Isaiah 56 or 55. Which was in Isaiah 55. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. If you're thirsty, just come. If you're thirsty, just come. Thirsty for more of God, just come. It's all bought and paid for. Thirsty for God, come. It says, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. What? For free? Yes, it's already been bought and paid for. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. It's an invitation by the Lord to just come, to drink and to eat. One of the things that Bill often says, and it's good to ponder on, heaven is filled with absolute trust in God. Heaven is filled with absolute trust and belief in God. That is this kingdom. This world is filled with total distrust and unbelief in God. It's the nature of the two kingdoms. His kingdom full of trust and belief, this one full of unbelief and distrust. And the realm that you and I most drink from or eat from, well, let me put that again. We will reflect through our lives the realm that we most drink from. The realm that we most feed from. Does that make sense? We will reflect. Even though we might be Christians, even though we might be born again, we still will reflect the realm we most feed from. Just the way it is. How much are you feeding from this realm? Just want to encourage us. Get into that. I was interested, it's a bit like the moon, if you like, you know, we swim on a full moon, we see a full moon because the sun is directly shining. There's nothing blocking the way for the light of the sun to hit that moon. So, boom, we get the full light reflected back. It's not its own light, doesn't have its own light. It's the reflection of the sun. But on a great night, when it's a clear night, and you can see stuff outside. When it gets blocked, it's because there's something else getting in the way. Make sense? So that's like us. We will reflect the realm we most feed from. Right, let's jump back to the passage that we looked at last week. We looked at, not last week, Isaiah, Ezekiel 47 and the river. Remember that wonderful picture of the river? And at the very end of that picture, it finishes in verse 47, verse 12. And the banks on both sides of the river there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. You know, we talked about this. This is all obvious. Just refresh it again. That the water that flows from the sanctuary is clearly who? Is clearly Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that flows from the dwelling place of God. Where he is, his river flows out. And so the river draws from it. And their fruit, they will bear fruit every month because the water from the flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Now, there's interesting. I've come across four passages in the scripture that have the same fruit, that have the same thing. Like trees planted by a river that bear fruit all the time, even when it gets rough. There's four passages that there may be more, but there's four that I know. Now, of course, the other fabulous one is in Revelations 22, 1 and 2, and I'll read it out. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street and of the city. Also on either side of the river. I don't understand how, hang on. Yes, here we go. And also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit. I don't know what that looks like. You know, there's a river flowing. On either side is the tree of life. Okay, Lord, no. I don't know what that looks like. Who cares? Doesn't matter. He didn't ask for anything. That's just one of those things we'll see in heaven. Think that's amazing. Yielding its fruit each month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And it's the river of the water of life. In heaven, that river flows. It flows here. It continues to flow. The river of the water of life, bringing life to everything it does. But there are two other places as well. I want to just briefly, quickly touch on those this morning because I haven't got much time until good morning. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. You don't have to look it up necessarily because I'll just jump into this. But it's Jeremiah, if you want to write the verse down, 17, 7 to 8. Of course, you've all got pens to make note of these scriptures today. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, or who is confident in the Lord, as the other translations put it. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Have we got it up there? Oh, wonderful. Read that again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Echoed by the Lord Jesus, who said, come to me and drink, and for whoever believes, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. It's just Same thing. Who trust in the Lord. We've had this. Someone shared. Someone got up and shared that this morning. Julie. Where's Julie? She's gone. Oh, no. She's left. That's all right. No, she's at the back. Remember Julie saying, trust. Trust. Because the Lord wants to make us people who, when the drought comes, still continue. They're not affected by the situation. You know this. I mean, that's just what we do here. I don't think there's anyone here who's a visitor and doesn't know what I'm doing. We are people of this world, of this kingdom, but we still live in the midst of this one. We are surrounded by people of this. We're surrounded by this world, even though our hearts, mind, spirit are anchored in this one. We don't belong in this one. We belong in this one, and we live. And so the Lord's goal is that we learn to live fully, successfully, completely, so that whatever happens in this realm doesn't affect us. You with me? It doesn't affect us. Just like Julie was saying, God, well, what's happening? But he wants us to know. He wants us to be like a tree that continues always to bear fruit, even when it's all going to turn into custard, where everything's going wrong, where everything is just coming against you. You think, what are you doing, God? He still wants us to be people who are not affected, because we still are in this world, and we still will come up against difficulties, struggles, part of being stuck here. But he's left us here so that in the midst of that, we shine like beacons in the night. You're a light on the hill. In the dark, thick darkness come upon the nation. See thick darkness, but the Lord has risen upon you. But if we get consumed by that darkness, we cannot shine. This is not rocket science, is it? This is, you already know this. Now, there's another scripture which is kind of fun. And it thinks, and your first thing you think, okay, because it's not talking about the river. The picture is like a tree by the river, but the thing itself is not the river. Who can tell me what that is? Who said that? I heard a voice. Psalm 1. Interesting that this psalm is the very first psalm. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. In other words, lives in this kingdom. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. What happens if you meditate on the law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water and yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Why? Because he meditates on the law. Hang on. No, don't we drink from the river? Well, actually, they're one and the same thing. I want to try and show you that reading the scriptures is one and the same thing as drinking from the Spirit of God. Drinking from the Spirit of God. I want you to... can we put Hebrews 6, 7 and 8? Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. By the way, just before we go on to this, always remember when you read the word law, it is referring to the first five books of the Bible, which they call the Torah. Genesis, blah, 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 blah. God, can't Genesis. Whatever those first five books are. Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and... Did I miss one? Exodus. Did I say all those? I didn't get them in the right order. But never mind, I wasn't planning to. All right. And I've said this before. When we think law, we think rules and regulations. You must do this. And if you don't do it, that's it. But the law was bigger than just rules and regulations. The law was a revelation of God to us. When you see the word law, think this is God's revelation to me of who he is, what his character and nature is like, and what he wants us to become, and the consequences of stupidity. Okay, basically, that's what the law is. It is a revelation of who he is. So think revelation. I've got Joshua 1, verses 6 to 9, written out, and it's one of my meditation scriptures, one that I carry around everywhere. Remember, on our commissioning day of when Corey and I were at Bethel And they had the commissioning. They commissioned all our students who managed to do their work properly and get it all done and all that sort of stuff. And Chris spoke on that passage, Joshua 1, 5 to 6, which is, you know, I've taken you into the land. Meditate on the word. You know, be strong and courageous, for I have taken you into this land. You know, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Blah, blah, blah. Mike, maybe I'll come back to that. And when he was preaching, it was like, boom. You know how when you hear prophetic words and they just hit you and you know that they're for you, you can feel the waves of the power go, ba-vump, ba-vump, ba-vump. And the whole thing was like a prophetic word to me. And I'm shell-shocked at the end of this thing. I've got to write that passage down and take to heart what he said about it. And I said to so many people in Christ, wasn't that a cool prophetic word? And they're going, no. Was it? You know, wasn't it like it? Didn't you get it like a prophetic word? Mm-hmm. Everyone said no. I thought, oh my gosh, it really was a word just for me. I don't know why I'm telling you that. Anyway, it says to meditate. There's that passage to meditate on. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Is to anyway, forget about it in a while. Why did I say? What did I jump to that law? Oh, the book of the law. Yes, when I translated it, I've written it out in my page that I've got all my scriptures that I like to think, you know, just go back to and meditate on and declare and speak them out. What I've got is I've kind of blanked it out and I've put meditate on the king of the revelation of the king and his kingdom. Instead of law, I think king and his kingdom. Make sense? Because what we are meditating on when we look at the Bible, of course it's a bit stupid when you hold this up, doesn't have quite the same impact. But when we meditate on the Bible and look at the Bible and read the Bible, we are reading the manifesto and the revelation of the king and his kingdom. And how to live in it, how to be successful in it, what to do, and what not to do. Make sense? That's what it is. All right, Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. We've got Hebrews. Oh, goody, 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 goody. For land that has drunk the rain. Now, before I say this again, we are now going to shift slightly the metaphor. Okay, the problem with the Bible is it just chucks up so many metaphors because you can't squeeze God into one little picture. You know, he's a gazillion pictures because there's no earthly thing actually that can encapsulate everything about him. Even the whole world and the universe still doesn't encapsulate all he is. It reveals it to us, but it doesn't. So this is a slight shift in metaphor. Okay, you with me? For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. No, we'll go on that first part. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from the God. When a farmer, if you drive between here and on the motorway, between here and to Maidenhead, go off on whatever the 7 and head down to exit 8, on the right-hand side, well, you see it when you're coming back the other way because you don't want to be driving like this, but it's in front of you when you come from 8 to 7. There's this big piece of ground that's been dug up and there's this huge long irrigation thing. It's a big long, and there's water pouring out and you sort of think, don't you know there's a drought on? But they're pouring it on. Of course, it's automatic. It just slowly moves across, and there's a pile of water. The land's been irrigated. There's water falling on that land. What happens when that water falls on the land? Come on, you farmers. Is there any farmers here? Anyone got a garden? Yeah. Okay, when you pour water on the garden and there's nothing there, what happens? Weeds grow. Why do weeds grow? Yes, but what makes the weeds grow? Hits the seeds. Whatever seed is in the soil comes to life because the water sets the seed going.
But if you have a good plant, then...
Exactly. A good plant. All right, don't stretch this metaphor too far. I just want you to get the idea of seeds. There are seeds in the soil. Remember Jesus, and we won't go into this passage just now, Jesus talked about the four soils, and he says the sower sowed his seed. What was the seed? The word of God. This is the seed. The seed was the word of God. So the soil is out in this metaphor, in this picture, the soil is our hearts. And so there is seed in our hearts. And when the water rains upon it, the good growth that comes is because of the seed that's in there. Now we won't go into too many. There's another parable where the Lord says that the farmer sowed his seed, but during the night an enemy came and sowed other seed. Now don't think the Holy Spirit sets light to that one. That's where this metaphor starts falling down. But the rain often falling on it. The rain is the Spirit of God, the rain of the Spirit of God, often falling on it. I remember I've mentioned this before, often falling on it, sets that seed alight. The Spirit of God doesn't just, I'll give you a blast today and then I won't touch you for another 12 months. You know, the river of the Lord is always flowing to it. But the seed that he wants to bring to life is the Word of God. Now, if there's no seed of the Word of God in the soil, can that seed be brought to life? Obviously, no. Can't be. That's the importance of this psalm. That we have to, that says there, to meditate on his law. In other words, the law or the word of God has to be in our hearts for the Spirit of God to bring life to it. Now, Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life. I think that's 663. Did I get this? It is the Spirit who gives life. This is interesting, very interesting. It is the Spirit who gives life. Yes, we all agree with that, absolutely. The flesh is no help at all. Forget it. The stuff in this world, ditch it. Not going to bring you any life whatsoever. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Isn't that interesting? My word is spirit. So when we read the Word of God, when we listen to what Jesus said, we are receiving the Spirit of God at the same time. Second Timothy 3:16-17. This is a scripture that was given to me. You know, it's one of the first ones you learn when I was being discipled, read discipleship books, you had to learn the scripture. I've got it in the Passion Translation, so it's slightly different to everyone else. It's wonderful. I like this. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. In most translations, it says, if all scripture is God-breathed. The word pneuma, where we get pneumatic air. You know, we pump up our pneumatic tires. Because that's the picture of the Spirit of God in the New Testament. Pneuma, air, the breath of God. He's the breath of God. He's the river of life. He's all those things. But he's the breath of God. All scripture is God-breathed. It comes from the Spirit of God. Cool. And it will empower you by its instruction. We'll get onto that in a minute. So when we meditate on the Word of God, we are meditating, we are drinking. Remember that passage in Isaiah 54? It says, come, drink, and eat. The food we eat is His Word. We have to, I just want to encourage us, we must eat the Word of God. We must feed on His Word. It is non-optional because it's part of the life that the Lord wants to bring us. Life comes from His Word as well as from His presence. They're both the same. Is that making sense? I don't know if this is anyone's ever kind of thought about this, but for me it's important. We have to drink. In fact, one of the fruits of a genuine encounter with the Spirit of God will be an increased desire to read the Bible. It's one of the fruits you can look at. It's not the only one, but it's one of them you can test whether someone's had, they can talk about they've had this outrageous experience. Do you have more confidence in Jesus? Well, no. Okay. Do you want to follow Him more closely? Well, no. Is the Word of God special to you now? No. Well, whatever you've had, mate, that wasn't the Spirit of God. You with me? That's a test. So every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you with its instruction. Oh, hang on. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are mine. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So this revelation that we read is also not just the river flowing to us of his presence, it is also the life that he brings in his word, what he says. Now, the thing is, the Lord is calling us to a relationship with him. We live in partnership with the Lord. But to be able to have a good partnership with someone, like a marriage, you have to understand what the person you are, who is like, what they like, what they expect, what their expectations are, what their character, what their nature is like. If we don't understand that, we don't know those things, there will be trouble in that partnership. Make sense? Is this, you're staring at me, does this make sense? I don't want to be saying, if you haven't got it, don't want to keep going. There will be trouble in that partnership, but it won't work. No matter how much you might enjoy being around that person, at the end of the day, if you don't have a clue how they feel, what they think about things, that relationship is never going to get any deeper. And in the end, it will just peter out. There has to be the knowledge between you of who and what do you think, how do you feel about this, what do you want to do, what do you want to... And of course, we are in partnership with the Lord. It's such an important concept for us to get that we are a partnership. The Lord, I know the scripture, Paul often talks of us as servants and slaves, and that's the first step we need to come. When we become Christians, the first step of becoming a Christian is total surrender. No matter how you do it, it's total surrender. Even if he just sort of pulls you out, it's surrender. You leave that behind to become this. That's what it means. I'm surrendering to this, and I'm entering into this world. That's what it means to become a Christian, even if total surrender. There is still, and a total surrender is you become a slave and a servant. Yes? I take the place of a servant. I'm your servant. In fact, Jesus says, when you come, in that parable, he says, to well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. But the prime thing that the Lord wants for us is to be sons and daughters. That's what he's after. He wants sons and daughters. But we still have to enter in through that servant heart. In other words, quit being arrogant. Quit by thinking you're the be-all and end-all of everything that the Lord wants to do. You're just one of gazillions. You're very precious, as George is fighting out. Deeply loved. In fact, if we were the only human beings alive, Jesus would still come and die for you this morning. That's how much we love. But arrogance and pride he hates. That's why he wants a servant heart. But he wants a servant-hearted son and a servant-hearted daughter. But he wants friends. He doesn't want mindless slaves who tell me what to do, right? See, a slave just gets told what to do. But a son and a daughter gets to share the heart of the parent. Well, when there's a good relationship. Make sense? But to know what the parent wants and know what the father wants, we must spend time in his word. We must spend time in his word. So here's the picture. God wants trees that fruit continuously, not sporadically, but to fruit abundantly. God wants trees so that when, as the, you know, like the was said before, when the desert comes, when hard times come, those do not affect. Soaking in his presence and soaking in his word, getting his word in us, prevents us from being so that we're not tossed around when rough seasons come. We're not dependent on the circumstances around us because we live from another world. And we have to, that's the importance of having the word in our heart. It's the importance of having it. We cannot avoid it. That's the structure, that's the rock, that's the foundation, that builds the house that we live in. And the presence of God fills that house with his love, joy, and peace in his life. But we still have to have a structure to live in. And the word of God is the structure. It's the revelation of who he is and his intentions, of his character, of his nature, so that we know whether we're in the right place or not. But he wants us to be able to rise above our circumstances. And we will not and cannot if we do not have the foundation of his word in us. Just the way it is. But his word is his spirit as well. So we're still soaking in the spirit. So that's, just getting back to that Psalm 1. Blessed is the person who meditates on the word of God. Now meditation in simplest terms is to simply soak in something. Soak in it and stay soaking in it. So we get in his word and we soak in it. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 6 or 7, it says, meditate on the word day and night. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. In other words, it's like this. I take a bit of food, I go around, and I take it and I eat it. And I want to get all the nourishment from that piece of wood. All of it. Every single piece. So I chew it as much as I can to get them in. But I don't go, don't like that. So do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but chew on it. Take the word of God and chew on it. Think about it. Soak in it. Extract every little piece of stuff you can get from it. And there are ways that you can do that. I'll put it down the back. I've got I call it the four eyes of meditation. Apologies to all people who wear glasses. It's not meant to be an insult. The four eyes of meditation. And the first one is to memorize the word of God. Not the most important step, but very helpful. If you haven't got your Bible with you, of course, all of us now have got these things and you just turn to it. You know, it's cheats, really. It's a cheating way. You really ought to memorize it. Because you might be stuck without a phone. What was that scripture? I can't remember that scripture. But if you can call to mind, you can meditate on it anyway. So it's memorize, analyze. Just this real quick, I'm going to show you some other things. Analyze means find out what the words mean. What does that word mean? Like, what is meditation? I've got to, you know, find out what that word means. I probably should be spending time on, but I won't, in explaining this. Analyze the words. Find out what they mean. Find the meanings of those words. The next one is visualize the word. Okay, so you might get a word that says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. So I think, okay, flowing from the throne, is there somewhere I know something flows? Have I been by a river where there's been something flowing? And so I picture myself, I'm standing by a river that's flowing. What does that feel like? Feels amazing. It feels amazing. It's not the best picture, but you try and get a feeling of the verb or the noun and picture that word in a way that you get some sort of feeling with it. Picture it. Use that part of the brain that doesn't, for some of us who are analytical, analog thinkers, use the creative side of your brain and picture it. Now, having analyzed the different words in that way, you put all that stuff back into the word and then read it again so that it takes on not just information, it takes on feeling, it takes on expression. You with me? And then, so what have I said? Memorize, analyze, visualize, and then personalize. Personalize it then by praying it. The best way is to make all the pronouns personal and pray it back to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that. Thank you, Lord, that. There is a river flowing from your throne room that I can drink from every day. Thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks to me. And if I soak it into my heart, I will be like a tree that will bear fruit in every situation and nothing will be able to stop me. Thank you, Jesus. You with me? Personalizing to yourself. Now, just quick, this I wasn't expecting to quite go silent. When you're reading the scriptures, which of course you are now going to from today, be so inspired that every single day you're going to read your Bible. Yes. I have heard recently that there are people in our church, I won't point people out, who are not reading their book, not reading this Bible, not reading the word. Naughty on you. We have to. When you read your word, first of all, for those of us who need, you know, for the pros, this is, you'll say, oh, you're fine, you already know this. When you come to your word, the first thing you must do is you must pray. You must pray. Reading the Bible is not information gathering. You're drinking. You're wanting to extract life. You're wanting to get meaning. You want to get purpose from this thing. You're wanting to encounter the Lord. Every revelation from this book that doesn't lead to an encounter eventually, you haven't read it properly. You haven't heard it properly. It hasn't had the Spirit of God on it. All revelation must lead to an encounter with the Lord, an increase in revelation, an increase in understanding, something that changes and transforms our lives. So when you're reading the Bible, and you have, I have set readings that I read, you know, that I read. Sunday's usually not a great, I don't know why, I don't always quite get to my Bible on Sunday, sorry about that. But I aim at least 6 days out of seven, I open my Bible up and read it every day. Except it doesn't always work on Sundays. I don't know why it doesn't work on Sundays, but it doesn't work on Sundays sometimes. When I read it, as you read it, you pray. I like to worship. I'll take 5 minutes, I'll put my headphones on, listen to some worship. Get in the presence of God, because the Word is the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. The Word comes from Him. It is Him who gives it. It is the Spirit of God who gives us understanding. It is the Spirit of God who opens that Word to us as we read. Make sense? So worship. Get with the Lord. Pray in tongues for 5 minutes. That's a good thing to do too. It's a good thing to do anyway. Pray in tongues for 5 minutes and worship. Lift your hands, worship. And then open your Bible to the Word. And if there's a verse that jumps out at you and sticks to you, forget the rest of what you're going to read. Spend time with that passage, because that's what the Lord's highlighting to you. Spend time in that, meditate on it. Do whatever you can to get the Word in your life. Now, if I've got it here, I have. And Kerry Davies has come up with a different thing for meditation. Well, not for. She's got 6 P's of Bible reading to help reflect, meditate, and digest the verses you're reading. I'll just go through them quickly. I'll put these in the newsletter this week. The first one is picture it. So visualize the scene in your mind. Imagine being there, hearing these words firsthand. Number 2, pronounce it. Say the verse aloud. This is interesting. I've never thought of doing this. Say the verse aloud each time, emphasizing a different word. So that will give you a different view, a take on the word, and you'll get a wider understanding of that passage. I like that. Paraphrase it. Rewrite the word in your verse in your own words, as if written especially for you. That's a good thing to do. Personalize it. Replace the pronouns or people in the verse with your own name. Pray it. Turn the verse into a prayer. Say it back to God. Probe it. Ask the Lord what He wants to say specifically to you through this verse, and spend time listening to it. I'll put these in the newsletter this week, if that's helpful to you. So anyway, the upshot of this, the point I just felt when I was looking, and I thought of those 4 passages of Scripture that have the same picture, the same fruit, and I thought to myself, there's obviously a connection. That's how I read my Bible. It might not be the right way to read it, but that's how I read it. If you've got 4 things that all give the same consequence, then there's a connection between those things. And of course, one of them is trust, which we already know. Trust. We've heard that this morning. The other one is the Word of God. Meditate. Soak in it. Because it is spiritual. My Word is spirit and it is life, says the Lord. Why? What does the Lord want us to get into? One, He wants us to get to know Him better. Because we're in a relationship. We're in partnership. We're in a love, trust walk with the Lord. He wants us to know Him better, to know His character, to know what He wants, to know what He thinks. He's calling us to this partnership. But secondly, He wants us to be able to be strong, so that when the rough times come, when the world's in turmoil, as in many parts of the world it is, when the darkness comes, we are not succumbed by that darkness. That the light that's in us from His Word and His Spirit shines bright in that dark spot. And it can only happen as we spend time in His presence, as we spend time in His Word. That's how we grow. Last thing, salvation is free. None of us are here are Christians because of our own goodness, because of anything we've achieved or we're ever likely to achieve. Salvation is a wonderful gift that God gives to us. Yes? Wave at me if you agree with us. Thankfully most of you do. However, maturity is costly. Maturity is costly. It is not automatic. It is not automatic. There is a part we have to play. And one big part of it is that we take this word and we receive it to our hearts. We have to do that. The Lord is not going to do that for us. He will join with us as we do it, but He will not get His Bible out and open it up for us. We have to do that. It's part of our responsibility and part of the partnership. Maturity is expensive. It takes time. It takes effort. And that's one of the foundational steps we need to take. It's That's why so many people are struggling in their Christian walk. They're just missing a very basic thing. Not reading enough of the Bible, not reading enough of the Word. All right. I probably should finish there. I think I've said. You want another joke? No, I haven't got any more jokes in it. Six P's. All right, I've said that. Isn't that amazing? I've said all that. Partnership with God. Look, I actually managed to go through my notes pretty much. Anchored in His Word, sustained by His presence. It's not either or. Being filled with the Spirit and being filled with His Word is non-optional. Non-optional for us to succeed. Heavenly Father, bless you, bless you, bless you. Lord, we are a people on the whole face of the earth who have the wonderful privilege of having your word that speaks to us and walking in your presence. No other people on the earth have that. And yet it's there for every single human being. We thank you, Lord, that you've preserved your word. You've preserved it through the ages. Men and probably women of God in the past have written down what you've said, and you have preserved it for us. You've preserved it for us. Nothing has been able to stamp out your word. Why? Because it's life and it's food to us. Lord, stir our hearts to be devour your word, to be hungry, not just for your presence, but the presence of life that's in your word as well. Because your word is spirit and it is life to us. In Jesus' name, amen.